I'm about an hour east of Napa, California right now when I'm recording this episode of the podcast. And this is the second episode in the series that I'm doing to close out the year to help you really get ready for the next year, plan the next year, kind of walk you through my process on how I get ready. How do I plan? How do I get my mind right? How do I eliminate the limiting beliefs, things like that. So this is an 8-part series, y'all. And what I want you guys to do is, if you're not subscribed to the Carrot Cast, make sure you hit subscribe right now, subscribe to the podcast. And I'm going to be walking you through over the coming weeks exactly how to get prepared for the year. I'll walk you through my processes, everything. And to cap it all off, every single year I do a big webinar called the Epic Planning Webinar every single year. It's free, nothing to buy on there. Check that out. I'm going to be giving you guys a link to that here in a few episodes, so hold tight and listen to this entire series. Now, if you are joining us midway through the series, or if you're joining me on the second episode, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the one before this that is the kickstart to this series. It talks about how I was driving up to my annual planning retreat with my leadership team, what we do during our retreats, how we think about our retreats, the whole thing. So check that out. All right, so the next thing that I want to walk through, guys, is one thing that I started doing years and years and years ago. And it actually started when I was kind of in between gigs. And you guys have heard my story before on the podcast. One of them in particular that you need to listen to, we'll put it in the show notes, is I think it's called My 8 Steps to Success or something like that, okay? Where basically I kind of reach back in my brain bank and I think through all the years and go, what were the decisions I had to make at the different parts of my life to kind of position myself to get where I am now? You know, from a person who had my energy being drained most of the time. I was making good money, but energy was being drained. I didn't really have purpose, didn't really feel like I was just pumped about the work that I was doing. I didn't feel like I was making a big impact either, you know, both locally and with our customer base and the whole thing. I shifted from that to essentially, you know, massively upgrading my mindset, massively upgrading my bank account, massively upgrading the impact that that myself and my company and my family have been able to make, all in just a matter of years. And so go back and listen to that episode of the 8 Success Steps. Now, one of the things in there that I started doing during that period of time was doing something I call vision story. And a lot of you guys have probably heard of vision boards. You've probably heard of, you know, all kinds of things like that, that are essentially you documenting what it is that you want in life. And vision boards are cool. Vision boards have never been my thing, okay? Vision boards have never been my thing where I'm gonna sit there and, you know, find a magazine and start to cut out pictures of the house I want or the body I want or stuff. That's not me. If vision boards work for you, amazing. Do your vision board, okay? For me, what works best for me, y'all, is written story, okay? So this is 6, 7, 8 years ago, probably. Yeah, about 7 years ago. I sat down and the first vision story that I had ever written was actually on an airplane. And for me, it really, really helps me to get focused when I'm on an airplane because distraction is completely away, okay? And you know what? I realized just now, I completely forgot to tell you why I've been in Napa, California the last 2 days and where I'm driving now. I'll tell you that here in a bit, so hang on to this podcast and kind of get a little behind the scenes sneak peek at why I'm driving on Interstate 5 right now, away from Napa, what I've been doing, and where I'm going. But so the vision story is a big deal because there's an episode I did recently called the 1% Journey. And with the 1% Journey, that's been the latest mindset shift. If I were to redo that podcast I just talked about, the 8 Success Steps, and make one to be updated to my current life and do the 9 Success Steps or 10 Success Steps, the things I've learned since I recorded it, the 1% Journey would be one of those pivotal spots in my life, y'all. Okay, so go back and listen to that as well. But the reason I'm bringing this up is beliefs are what really guide your choices. Beliefs are the things that guide you to make good choices. Beliefs are the things that make guide you to make bad choices. Beliefs are the things that lead towards your habits, your good habits and your bad habits, okay? And ultimately, they lead towards the disciplines that you're gonna be creating. And certain beliefs that we all have, you know, dating all the way back to probably our first memories and the way that we grew up and just a bunch of different things, all of our experiences leading up to this point, they're feeding into this vision that we have for ourselves. You know, they're feeding into, hey, do I believe I can do this someday? Hey, what is it that I really would love to do someday? You know, where do I want to go with my life? What should my family look like? Where do I want to travel? What about my income? Here's probably what I feel like are my big income goals. Okay, all those types of things are fed from your beliefs. And so the second you can start to shift your beliefs and believe in those beliefs is the second that you start to live a different life, and you start to live a life that is better on your own terms. Not better on someone else's terms, right? Better on your own terms. And so 7 years ago, like I said, I was in an airplane. I was kind of frustrated with where I was in my life. And I wasn't doing this because someone told me to do this exercise. I wasn't doing this because I read a book or listened to a podcast and said to write this vision story down. Okay, I open up one of my notepads. This is before Carrot, so it wasn't an orange notepad at that time. But I opened up a notepad. I always carry a notepad and pen with me anywhere I go. And a notebook and pen. And I open it up and it's like, man, if I'm not pumped about where I am now, and it just feels like I just can't get out of the current situation I'm in, once again, I don't want to play a pity party because I was in a great situation, y'all. I made good, solid income, low six figures a year, amazing family, beautiful wife, love her more than anything, you know, great house, just all, you know, all that stuff that we had already started our offices downtown before Carrot in the Loft Entrepreneur Co-Workspace. I started the entrepreneur group, so we were starting to build community at that time. So things were great, okay? And I've said it before, things were great, but I was not grateful for the situation I was in. And I really didn't know how to go and upgrade my situation. So I sat there and said, okay, all these little tactics and techniques I'm trying just aren't working, so let me just actually write down where the heck I want to go. You know, like, what's the life I want to live? Where do I want to go? What's it look like? And so I created something called the vision story, and here's how I do it. Now write this down. A lot of people don't believe in setting goals 10 years out, 20 years out, and I agree with that. I'm not a guy who's gonna write down a bunch of goals 10 years out. I don't do business planning 10 years out. I do have a business vision, okay? I do have a business vision and a life vision to go, man, where would I love to be in business in 5 years, and 10 years, and 20 years? Where would I, and it doesn't always mean it's this business. I'm just saying in business, okay? Because if you don't have a clear vision for where you want to go way down the road, how are you going to kind of course correct, and how are you going to direct yourself today to know that you're heading the right spot? Can you imagine if you are, you know, if you're sailing a ship or flying in an airplane or something like that, and you're going from, you know, Los Angeles to New York, and how many times that plane has to course correct on the way to New York in order to land there, to get there on time, to land within the precise minute of the time that it says it's going to land. Okay, the whole time the plane is course correcting. But you know what? If it started flying and it said, well, you know, I know we're going back east somewhere, but we're going to get in the airplane and let's get up there, and by the time we're over Oklahoma, then we'll kind of like maybe get closer to figuring out where we're going to go. But maybe, you know, rather than going to Oklahoma, you kind of veer off up towards Nevada. Then like, okay, yeah, shoot, I'm supposed to get back over to Oklahoma, and I'll figure out once I get to Oklahoma. Okay, it's really hard for that airplane to get where it wants to go or take the most direct route there. Okay, so that's why I write a 20-year vision. And so pull out that pen and pad, and just start to write in story format. Start to write down, where do you want to be in life in 20 years? And the 20-year vision for me is the longest one. It's where you're just like, write any word that comes out. Don't try to make it a perfect thing, okay? Mine is about two pages, handwritten, single-spaced, just really diving in. And I start from the morning, the second that I wake up, you know, what is it that I see? Where am I waking up? Who am I waking up with? What words were the first words that were said? What smells do I smell? What sounds do I hear? All those things, okay? You want to write this stuff down in vivid detail. Hey, I'm waking up right now in this house, and the view looks like blah. And you don't even have to know where the house is, but you just have to picture the feeling of you being in it. And that's the important thing, is picture the feeling of living this life. You don't have to have all the details down. You don't have to know exactly where. You don't have to know exactly the people and exactly the conversations or exactly what your business will look like at that point or where your income is coming. You just need to put yourself in a feeling put yourself in a spot where you can feel this ideal version of your life, okay? And you wanna write essentially your vision story. What I do is I write down that day, literally the day that I'm sitting and writing it. So right now it's November 22nd, okay? I would literally write November 22nd, 20 years from now. I'd write the date right there. And if it's a Thursday or whatever, I'd like, you know, what on November 22nd in 20 years, you know, 20, whatever it is, 2039, what would I be doing this day? Where am I waking up? And then I'd start to walk myself through that day. What did I eat? Who did I talk to? What did I do anything? You know, how did I start my morning routine? Okay. What type of habits and disciplines do I have at that point in my life? Where, you know, when do I start work? What type of work do I start working on? When I am working, what is it that I'm doing? How long am I working? Where do I go to work? Am I working out of my house? Is it a coffee shop? Is there an office at that point? When I'm working, who am I talking to? What types of projects are we working on as a company? What excites me that day? What did I eat for lunch? Who did I eat lunch with? What did I do in the afternoon? Did I work out? Where did I work out? Who did I work out with? What did the workout look like? You guys get the idea here, right? Like literally, you can close your eyes and just picture yourself living that day moment by moment. Write those down in the first person, okay? I did this next and I felt this and these are the amazing smells I'm smelling, or I heard this person's voice just talk so sweetly, or whatever it is, okay? Write it down vividly, okay? The next thing you're gonna do after that is pull back, flip a page, and write your 10-year vision story. Now, this one's probably gonna be a little bit shorter, okay? This one's probably gonna be a little bit shorter because you're gonna be able to go, okay, cool. If this 20-year one is true, and if this is where I'm going to be or want to be in 20 years, this is the life I wanna live, this is the person I wanna be in 20 years, what do I have to do, be, where, you know, all those things in 10 years? Where do I have to be? Who do I have to be in 10 years, okay? And then start to do the same thing. 10 years from now, November 22nd, you know, 2029 or whatever it is, okay? What does that day look like 10 years from now? Where do I wake up? What's it look like? What are the first words I say? What are the sounds I hear? What are the smells I smell? Okay, literally detail by detail, what am I eating? When am I moving and working out? All those things, guys, okay? And it's probably gonna be a little bit shorter because some of it's gonna be from the 20-year vision. Okay, some of it's gonna be new. You might even kind of paraphrase some of the 20-year vision stuff, okay? So that's where you need to really look out and go, okay, cool, this is where I wanna be. The next thing is, okay, the next thing here, y'all, is you want to now do a 5-year, okay, do a 5-year and do the exact same thing. Okay, where am I gonna be 5 years from today? Literally write down that day, November 22nd, you know, da 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 da, where am I gonna be in 5 years from today? And then the very last one is your 1 year. Now you might be asking, why is it that this vision story is so important? Why is it that I feel that sitting down and writing down this story, writing down where you're gonna be, is so important? Okay, it's because the clearer you can get on where you wanna be, the clearer you can get on where you wanna be, the easier and more effective you're gonna be able to get there. Okay, and I can tell you, I did this in 2012 that first time, and once I wrote down that vision story, it became real in my mind. Okay, I knew what it felt like. I started to feel what that life would be like. I started to experience, man, what would this feeling be like? Okay, and then once you can feel that, once you feel what that's going to be like, it becomes a lot more real. You start to feel the emotion of it, okay, and then you start to act on it. You start to create a life that gets you there. And so the cool thing about the 1 year story is now that's where we get into planning for the next year. Okay, that's where we start to get into planning for the next year. You are gonna have a vision for the year, of course, but there's gonna be a lot of tactical stuff in there as well. And so that's where it really needs to get real for the year. Everything else is just very, very high level, very feeling based, very story based. But for the next year, it's gonna be very action-based, very goals-based, okay? Very, what are these milestones I need to hit this next year, all right? So that's the vision story process. I would challenge you to do that. What I do now is I basically take that vision story and I update it every year. I pull out that notepad, usually on an airplane or somewhere where I can get focused, and I start to make those updates to the vision story. I start to look at and cross things out that aren't relevant. And sometimes what I do is I actually take it and flip a few pages and I rewrite the whole story over again. Because you want to know what, guys? As you start to evolve, as you start to remove your limiting beliefs, as you start to tackle things you didn't think you could tackle before, what you're going to experience is you're going to experience you realizing that you can be more, that you can do more, that the version of yourself that you want to be is no longer the version of yourself that you wanted to be 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because you probably have higher standards now. And those higher standards are going to help you in a massive, massive way. Okay, so that's when I'll usually take it out and I'll rewrite that vision story. If I just look at it and go, you know what? I don't know. I don't think that this vision story can really encapsulate and contain the life that I want to live now. You know, I just am thinking bigger all around. I can be a better husband, better father, better leader, better entrepreneur. I can make a greater impact. And then you take that vision story and just write a new one, okay? And I like to keep mine all in the same darn notepad. I haven't quite nailed that over the last 7 years. It's in a couple notepads, but that way you can kind of look back at the evolution of your vision stories. You can start to see, man, at this point in my life, I started to think a lot bigger. What was it that made me get there? Okay. And so I'm going to wrap with this, is the reason the vision story is so darn important, y'all. The reason the vision story is so darn important is because so many people lead into this next year. They start to plan this next year based off of what happened in the past. Okay, so many people start to plan the next year based off of what happened in the past. And here's what I mean by that. Last year, here's what my income was. I'd love to do more income than this than what I did last year. So let's see if I can do 20% more or 50% more. The second that you start making your plan for the next year based off of what you did the last year is the second you lose, okay? Now, definitely use what you did last year to help add context for this next year, okay? But guys, if you're using last year to create your plans for next year, you have already lost, because you're not intentional with where you want to go. That year could go exactly like you have it planned. You could hit all your goals, you could hit all your metrics, and you can be absolutely miserable. You can be feeling like you're kind of listless and you're not sure where you're going in life. You can feel like you're not sure what you should be doing. You can feel like you're not purposeful and living on purpose in your unique abilities, because you're planning your year ahead based off of what you did last year. Okay. So if you feel like that's kind of you, and I've been there so many times, and I'll even catch myself sometimes falling back into it. And when I do that, I pull back and go, damn, I kind of lost sight of my vision story. Let me go read that thing again. Is it still relevant? If it's not relevant, maybe that's why I lost sight of it, because I didn't get excited about it anymore. You should be crazy freaking pumped about your vision story. Okay. So if you ever lose passion for your vision story or you stop using it, it's probably because you're not pumped about it anymore. So go write a new one that you are crazy excited about. Okay. So why am I driving away from Napa, California? So I was down here for a mastermind for real estate agents called The Closing Table. Actually, it's agents and investors. It's a little bit of both. I call The Closing Table. Good friend Sam Kramian runs it with Oliver Graf, big block realty guys. Roland Frazier, amazing entrepreneur, is one of the owners of it as well. And so I kind of came down here to sharpen my saw and just get around some amazing players. Some of the top real estate agents in the country are here. Some of them are my clients. And I just get to learn from them, and I get to be with them and figure out where we're doing things great and where we have some gaps and how I can learn from them and hopefully teach them a thing or two also. So I had a chance to visit some crazy cool wineries, bought some way too expensive wine. I don't even know. So this is a whole different lesson here. I don't even know literally how I walked out of this tasting that we all did. Roland put it together. It's four amazing wineries in Napa. We went way out there in vineyard land. And guys, I was not planning on buying any wine. Okay, I live in wine country in Oregon. I have dozens of bottles of wine at my house that I already don't drink. I really don't drink that much in general. I might have a drink of alcohol probably 3 or 4 times a month maybe. That's pretty much it. I used to drink a lot more wine and things like that. Now I just realize, you know, I just like water. I'm just going to drink the crap out of water and I feel better. If I really feel like I want to have the experience of drinking wine or just really want to have that with a certain meal to pair it, I'll get out a bottle. So anyway, guys, they go into this thing. We're all hanging out, you know, talking, networking. There's amazing wine tastings. I wasn't going to buy any, but this is a really, really good lesson in marketing and adding value. Years ago, I mean, this was when I was first starting to learn how to do marketing, what marketing actually was. Years ago, I learned the law of reciprocity. Okay, so the law of reciprocity is essentially when you give to somebody without any expectation in return, okay, then the world kind of conspires to give you even more in return. Or in this case, if you give your customers something freely, okay, or you just give so much value, then they will feel obligated to then give in return. Now, how does that apply? So if you go by, actually, here's a good example. I was up in Victoria, British Columbia with my wife and a couple college friends that we go on trips with every year. And we were walking in this Saturday market, and there's just tons of fruit stands and all kinds of things like that. And the busiest as fruit stands is like jewelry and, you know, all kinds of fat Saturday market type stuff. And so the busiest stand of all of them, and there was like amazing stands there, and there are dozens of them. The busiest one was a lemon stand. Like, this dude was selling lemons, okay? Now, why was his lemon stand the busiest? This is getting completely off topic from Vision Story, but I think it's interesting anyway. His was the busiest for two reasons. One of them is he was giving people samples of the product, but they were generous samples. It wasn't like this little tiny sample. Now, you might be going, well, who the heck would want a sample of a lemon? Now, this is where he was really smart, because he found a way to cut through the clutter. He found a way to grab attention and then sell the crap out of his product in the process, that normally people aren't rushing to a stand to buy a lemon. So he's walking over, and he's got all the lemons displayed nicely in these big baskets. And he's over there just as loud as he can saying, come taste the world's sweetest lemon. Come taste the world's sweetest lemon. Okay. And there's a big group around him. They're all tasting the world's sweetest lemon. And so it's like this dichotomy. Lemons aren't sweet, right? And so that's what we start to think about. The world's sweetest lemon. So number one, sweet and lemon usually don't combine. But you're saying these are the world's sweetest lemons? Dude, I got to try this thing. And so we try them out. And then you're like, damn, that's a good lemon. But he gave a really, really good portion. He talked to you. He smiled at you. I mean, it was like he added value throughout the whole process. And I didn't need any darn lemons, but I walked out of there with lemons. Like, I didn't need lemons. I got the world's sweetest lemons, apparently, and I bought the darn things because of the law of reciprocity, okay? So the same thing happened today. I'm in there drinking wine. It's great wine. I'm talking to the guys, you know, the vineyard guys. And I've got plenty of wine at home, guys. Okay, so I talked to the first guy. He's got a great story. You know, he was from like Wisconsin and moved to San Diego and really just got bought into the whole lifestyle of wine and lifestyle of Napa, moved here. He's the winemaker. I'm like, sweet, your wine is great, man. I'll buy that bottle. It's $50. Awesome. And that was all I was going to do. So then I go across the room where some of my other friends from this mastermind are at. And they're talking to this other winemaker. And this other winemaker has like, his bottles are all fancy, right? So they're like wrapped in paper. And he had this set, this box set of like three bottles there. And they're all wrapped fancily in this like a wooden box and crap. And so I'm first of all thinking, cool, I'll taste the wine, but there's no way I'm buying this wine, because any wine that's wrapped in paper in a box in Napa is not gonna be cheap. And so I taste the wine, the guy's describing the stories, he gives me a couple flights of this wine and just talks about it, and we connect and we talk about where I'm from. And here's the deal, guys. Napa is like wine central in America, right? And I brought up where I live in Roseburg, Oregon, which has amazing wine. I mean, like award-winning wine as well, but it's not Napa, right? Like there's wines as good as Napa wines, but it's not the wine region that Napa is. But it was cool because he asked me about the area. He started like, you know, getting excited for me about it and just saying, man, you know, Napa's Napa and Umpqua Valley is Umpqua Valley. And he's like, there's amazing, amazing wines there, and you can't compare it to Napa because Napa's just different. It's different soil. It's different this. It's different that. He didn't put down my area to have the pretentious, you know, mindset of, well, I live in Napa and you're just kind of second rate. So he's really built value. Guys, I walked out of there with this darn box set of three bottles of expensive wine I didn't need that I paid $675 for. Why did I do that? I don't know, but I did. And it's going to be amazing wine. So if you're ever in Roseburg and we have a special event, maybe I'll whip out one of those 200 and whatever some odd dollar bottles of wine. Who knows? It's a lesson in marketing there. How can you give more, add more value to your prospects, whether you're an agent or whether you're an investor? Okay, can you give them gifts? If you're an agent, can you start to give people gifts before they work with you? If you're delivering a home value report, a CMA, don't deliver the CMA over email. Drive down to their house or have someone do it. Drop off a legit gift, okay? Like, it's your CMA comes in a box, and it comes with a gift of something cool. Do that. You're going to be building reciprocity for them and really massively increasing the chances of them working with you. All right, so give you a little marketing lesson there too. Let's wrap this, guys. Vision story. I want you to pull away this week before we lead into next week and write down that vision story. Now, what's coming up next week in this series? So next week in this series, as I navigate to the next thing, next week, y'all, is identifying and squashing your limiting beliefs. I have a very, very simple process for how I identify what things are limiting beliefs, and then I squash them. The vision story is the first part. Now, what I want you to do is go buy, if you don't have one, or take out, if you have one, a notebook, okay? Like a notebook, it's got a cover in the front, cover in the back. You know, you can flip through. It's something you might pack around with you all year, because a lot of these exercises I'm gonna be walking you through, do them all in the same spot. Don't do them on a bunch of random pieces of paper here and there, okay? Do it in a notebook. Open up this notebook for this next week after you write the vision story. All right, guys, have an amazing, amazing rest of the week. We will talk soon. Get ready for the next year. Write the vision story. Get excited about where you want to live in 20 years. Get excited about where you're going to be in 10 years. And work it backwards, so then you're pretty darn clear for where you want to be leading into as we start to develop your objectives for the next year. You don't have to write your 1 year yet. Okay, you don't have to write your 1 year yet. Do your 20, 10, and 5. We will start to then write your 1 year objectives in a coming episode. Guys, talk soon. Rate us, subscribe, and man, let's get to 300 positive. Let's get to 300 five-star reviews, guys. We're over 200 five-star reviews now. Go over there, pop in a review, give me your honest feedback. I listen to every single, I read every single review, guys. And if you don't believe I do, I do. There was one guy, George Anderson. If you listen to this man, George left a review on Facebook. And he heard me say this on here, that I read every single review that comes through Care on the podcast and Facebook anywhere. And I replied to him a few minutes after he posted. I happened to be on at that time, and I saw the thing come through. And he said, "You're not lying. You actually do read these things." I do. I read them all. Okay. So leave a review. I'd love to see it. Give me feedback, and it helps me to spread my message to more people, so I can help you find more freedom, find more flexibility. Okay. Grow those finances so you can make a greater impact in your business life. We'll talk soon.